so much and so delighted to be here and just thank the world of Union University. I owe a whole lot to this campus and the former campus. I was on both campuses, and I can assure you that things have changed here, and that's a good thing. And I am delighted to be here today in an institution that is committed to an excellence-driven, Christ-centered, people-focused, future-directed education. And you are very blessed to be a part of the Union family and of the Union experience. As I come to you today, I stood here before. It's been about 15 years ago. And I looked back and I thought, you know, what did I speak on that day? And I really don't remember, and I'm sure the folks that were here don't remember. But, you know, today I don't want to try to impress you. I would like today to just impress upon you a truth from the Word of God. I've been the impress route, and it reminds me a couple of years ago, we had people coming into Knoxville that were dear friends, a man that owns several businesses in South Carolina, used to be his pastor, and his family, they were coming in. We had other guests, and about a week before that, all of a sudden, I just started breaking out. Now, none of you may have that problem, but I did. My face started breaking out, and so I picked up in the medicine cabinet some of those pads, and I was so nervous that they're going to be here in a week, and so tried to make sure that I just didn't want any blemishes. So I was using these pads, and they really didn't seem to help much, and it was the Sunday morning when everybody's going to be at church. And I was standing there using these pads thinking, you know, these things really aren't working, and my wife, who her education helped her a whole lot, turned to me and said, "Mike, what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm cleaning my face with these pads." She said, "Mike, those are hemorrhoid pads." And all I could think of was this. Well, baby, they work. There's not one hemorrhoid on my face. Today, I'm not going to try to impress you, but I want to impress something upon you that I believe is vital in the world in which we live today. I want to ask you a question. A question that Jesus asked those that were around him one day. They had been following John the Baptist. Jesus went out to where they were, and John the Baptist looked at Jesus, and he said, "Look, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And the Bible says that people began to follow Jesus. And Jesus was impressed with that. And he turned around and asked them the question that you read a moment ago. What do you want? Or as the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, what are you looking for? What is it that you're looking for? We're all looking for something. All of us are looking for something. You're in this room because you are looking for something. That is life's most important question. What are you looking for? What are your priorities? What's important to you? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, tells us what we ought to be looking for. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to think for a moment about some words. And the first word I'm going to ask you to think about with me this morning is the word passion. In that word seek, there is a nuance of passion. Jesus says, be passionate. Be passionate about the kingdom of God. We're passionate about so many things in our world today. I want to ask you today, what are you passionate about? When that little blonde-headed girl came across the way and she was the 1,000th student, I looked at her, and I'd already met her, I knew her, but I looked at her and said, you know, I want to marry that girl. She became my passion. She became my passion. I couldn't study, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. I just wanted to be with her. I lived at the old campus for a semester while they were getting a place prepared here for me, and I remember not having, those were the days when we didn't have cell phones. Did you know that there was actually a day when there were no cell phones? But we didn't have cell phones, and so on many occasions I would have to go down to the local gas station and stand out in the rain. I've stood many a night holding an umbrella, calling the one that I had such passion for. You'll do anything for those things that you have a passion for. Seek first the kingdom of God. What is your passion? In that word is a nuance of decision. Jesus is saying, you've got to decide what you want to do. You've got to decide what your passion is going to be. What decisions are you making today? What decisions are you making? You say, well, I'm being bombarded with all kinds of images and pressures from the world. And, you know, we can blame our environment. We can blame our upbringing or our genetic makeup. But the reality is that what we seek is our decision. God places those things in our minds and in our hearts, and we respond in obedience or disobedience. What are you seeking? The devil doesn't make you do anything. What are you seeking? You decide this passion that's in you, and in that is such a desire. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you have sought me with all of your heart. Lord, more than anything else in this world, I seek you. Lord, more than anything in this world, I desire you. Lord, I want you as my passion. I want you as my passion before I want to be president of anything. Lord, I want you to be my passion before anything else in this world, even before my bride. Lord, I seek you. What are you seeking today? Jesus says, what do you want? What are you seeking? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But not only do I want you to think about passion, think about another word. Priorities. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God must become a priority in our lives. In Colossians, the Bible says that in all things, Jesus might be becoming first. He becomes the priority. You say, well, how do I know exactly what my priorities are? I can suggest some areas of your life to look at. The first one is your time. Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your time? What do you spend your time thinking about? Where do you look at your calendar and you can tell a whole lot about what your priorities are. I remind you that there was a king of a nation who wrote these words. He said, God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I believe the King James says, early will I seek you. Lord, I'm seeking you first with so much passion. Where do you spend your time? You can look at your calendar. You can look at your day planner. And now all these electronic calendars, I have one. I'm not sure. I've had it for a year or two now, and I'm not sure I know how to read it yet. But, you know, we have all of these electronic devices, and we're so organized. But the reality is that we miss so much. What's in your calendar? What priorities leap off of the page as you look at your time? I had somebody tell me one time, Pastor, I work 5 days a week supporting my family. I work on Saturdays, making sure that my home, my yard, everything, that I just don't have time to come to church. Where is your time spent? Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and in that is passion, in that is priority. First, the kingdom of God. Look at your time. Another area, how about your talents? I'm so blessed in our church to have a wonderful music department, as you have here, and listening to this wonderful choir and the music last evening, and the organist, and Ron, God bless you. He works with my mother, by the way. She sends her greetings, and just honored to be around such a wonderful music department. But what about your talents? Your giftedness. God has gifted you in a wonderful way. I'm reminded of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, Jeremiah says, listen, the Lord said, I knew you before you were born. I had a plan for your life. And God always gifts us to fulfill the plan that He has for us. God has a plan for your life. He has gifted you in a very wonderful way. He's given you natural talents, spiritual gifts on top of that. And the question is, how do we use those talents? You want to know what your priorities are? Look at your time. You want to know what your priorities are? How do you use those abilities that God has given you? One of my favorite texts in all the Bible is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. The Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you. And this morning, if I have a message for you today, it is this. God says to you, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I sat right where you sit. I sat there thinking, you know, I just want to get through this next hour of a pop quiz or a test. Just hoping I could make it through. I never dreamed that I would have done now at the age of 51 all the things I've done, the places that I've been. Never dreamed that. I often say if I'd been God, I would have never called me to do what I do. But God dipped down in my heart and said, I've got a plan for your life. He dipped down into my heart and said, I've got a plan for you. And this morning, God has a plan for you. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Do you know what God's plan for you is? Number one, it's for you to be like Jesus. And number two, it's for you to fulfill the plan that Jesus has for you. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your talents? And then a third area that you can check as you're seeking Him first, are you seeking Him first with your treasures? The other day I was reading in the book of Acts chapter 5 where there was a couple that held back part of the proceeds and they lied about it and they held back these material possessions from God. I remind you that Jesus says where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart's going to be. We have a saying, there's a saying in business that money follows the mission. If you're going to go out for the money, the dollars, then it's going to follow that mission. And that's true in education, that's true in church. Why? Because where a man places his passion, that's where his treasure's going to be. Where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart will be also. Every one of us lives with one of three philosophies of life. You live with one of these philosophies. The Bible tells us of a story that Jesus used, the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know the story. You know how there was a robber lurking and the robber pounced on his prey. That robber lived by the philosophy of life that many of us live by today, many Americans live by, many people in the world. And that philosophy is this: what is yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. What is yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. But then there's a second philosophy of life, and that is this: what is mine, and I'm going to keep it. You remember in that story, not only was there a robber, but there was a religious leader that was so busy about the church work that he walked around and went on down because he had to get about religious business. His philosophy is what's mine and is mine, and I'm going to keep it. You see, there's two people with misprioritized treasures. What's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. But then there was a third man. And he came upon this man that was beat, battered, and bruised, and he said, what is mine is yours, and I'm going to give it to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. How do you seek first the kingdom of God? You look at your priorities, and in those priorities, how do you spend your time? How do you spend your energy and your talents? How do you spend your money? Where do you put your money? Now, I'm talking to students, and I know students are loaded with money. Amen? Do you know what I've discovered? I've discovered in church that it is the people who you think can least afford it that are some of the strongest givers. They don't always give the largest amounts, but they have such a heart. Pastor, I want to give to this. I've seen people that have given to mission enterprises and to help folks, and I thought they really did not have it. But I'm a Baptist preacher. I never turn it down. How do you spend your resource? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let me suggest several other words here. The third word is not only passion and priority, but it's power. Seek first the kingdom of God. Do you realize what that's saying? There's power in the kingdom of God. You think about the kingdom of God. What do you to have a kingdom? You've got to have subjects. You've got to have a ruler. Seek first the kingdom of God. And notice it is His kingdom. It's not my kingdom. The Bible tells us in Psalm 24 that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell in it. You see, this world doesn't belong to me. This world doesn't belong to you. We're to seek first the kingdom of God. This kingdom already belongs to God. This is God's world. This is my Father's world, we sing. Who has control over your life? Who has the power? Kingdom of God involves rule. Lord, I want to make you Lord of my life. I shared with our congregation last week, we've got a whole lot of people wanting fire insurance. Come to Jesus, get saved, and that's important. But I remind you that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and one is not isolated from the other. He is able to be our Savior because He is our Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God. That involves power. That involves rule. God is in control. He determines. Early in my life, I was called by a businessman in Memphis that was a friend of our families. I was born and raised in Memphis, and the man said, I need to talk to you. He picked me up in a luxury vehicle, and I was about 19 years old, and he took me out to his lake house and sat down in a swing, and he said, Mike, I'm getting ready to retire, and I own my own business. And he had one son that had died. His other son did not want his business, and so he said, I want to talk to you. He said, what I want to do is I want to slowly retire from this business, and I want to start clipping coupons, and I'm going to slowly turn the business over to you. And he says, you are going to be a very, very wealthy man. And I got to tell you, at 19 years old, who wouldn't jump on that? I said, absolutely, count me in, put me in. I can do it. I can sell it. I can, you know, we can go do this thing. That's what I had for my life. One night in Memphis, Tennessee, I got wrapped up in a lot of things in those days, and one night I was in really, really bad shape, and I had been in places I shouldn't have been, and I got hurt pretty badly. I was beat up pretty badly, and I looked up, and I said, God, when I was 11 years old, I gave you my heart and my life. I was born and raised into a Christian family, was saved at the age of 11, and had lived a large part of my teenage years like many of us, and had rebelled against God. And I looked up at God, and there was blood all over my face. I was hurting, and I said, God, right now, desperately, I need you. I want you to be Lord of my life. And the Lord said, all right, Mike, I'll be Lord of your life. And I said, Lord, I'll do anything but preach. And then he said, but I want you to preach. Lord, I'll do anything but pastor. He said, I want you to pastor. Lord, I'll do anything but pastor a Baptist church. He said, I want you to pastor a Baptist church. I said, Lord, I'll live anywhere but this particular state. Within 6 months, I lived in that state. And it's not very far from here. It was in Tennessee. And then I said, when that happened, I said, Lord, I'll move anywhere but Hawaii. That was 20 years ago. It hasn't worked. I shared that at Ridgecrest. I was preaching at Ridgecrest a few months back. I shared that at Ridgecrest, and so help me, there was a pulpit committee there from Honolulu, Hawaii. And they came up afterwards, and they weren't there to hear me. They were just there for the experience of the week, and they told me who they were. And I said, this is a God thing, believe me. But it's not, I can assure you. But you know, you've got to be willing to let the Lord do whatever. Today, I'm talking to some people. You may be president of the United States someday. Don't write it off. You're sitting here thinking, man, there's no way I could do something like that. I've got to confess to you, I said, there's no way I could ever pastor a church. No way that I could ever be president of the Tennessee Baptist Convention. No way that I could ever do that. But you know what I've learned? That when Jesus is Lord, He'll begin opening those doors for you. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things are going to be added to you. You're worried about your future. I promise you, if you give Jesus your heart and life, and you live for Him day in and day out, and make Him Lord of your life, each and every morning that you get up, He's going to take care of it. What do you want? What are you wanting in life? Seek first the kingdom of God. Give Him the power over your life. Let me give you one last word, and that is the word purity. I ended up not working for that man very long after that experience that I shared with you. I ended up saying, I don't want all this. It doesn't matter about my economic future. I don't want to destroy my life. Because I knew that working in that venue, I was not going to live a pure life. God began working on my heart and my life. Seek first the kingdom of God. And you know, we hear that all the time. But we don't hear this other part very much. Seek first the kingdom of God and His what? Righteousness. I wasn't a holy man. I'm not a holy man apart from the blood of Jesus. But seek His righteousness. Boy, there's an interesting thought. The last word I give to you is the word purity. What would the economic status of Enron be like today if purity were an issue? If people had been seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? How many prisons would be empty of people if people had truly been seeking righteousness? I was interviewed several years ago regarding the lottery in Tennessee, and the reporter said, why is it, what's wrong with the lottery? And as I began sharing with him, I said, listen, the reason I am against the lottery is, first of all, I have a biblical problem with it, and secondly, it is producing and it gives a venue for people to make choices and decisions that ultimately lead to an unholy, unrighteous life. And you see, there's a movement in our country to get away from calling things by their true name. It's no longer gambling, it is now gaming. And I believe there's a tremendous brainwashing going on in our culture. And I go back to this text, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What are you seeking today? What do you want in life? I can promise you that if you seek the things of this world, if you seek priorities, if you make priorities on the things of this earth, then you're going to end up destroyed. The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 32, verse 12, beware, your sins will find you out. You may think, well, I can hide them. I can hide them for a moment. I can hide them for a week. I can hide them for a year. And the reality is that corporate exec after corporate exec is falling today because of unrighteousness. It'll destroy your life. What are you looking for today? What is your passion in life? I've had people say, well, I don't have a passion. You know what my response to that is? Your passion is not having a passion. Jesus walked out to where John the Baptist had been teaching. When he did, John the Baptist looked up into the eyes of the Master and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. What are you looking for? What does it profit if a man gains the whole world or loses his own soul? I pastored right outside, about 3 miles from the gates of Graceland Mansion. Born and raised in Memphis, was in rock and roll myself for a little while, just in a backyard garage band. And a lot of us like that in Memphis in those days, the late 60s and early 70s. I'd always heard about Elvis Presley. I never met him. The president last night asked, how many of you met him? I never met him. But I know people that knew him before he was Elvis, right as he was getting started. I had the occasion in the 1980s on a number of occasions to be in Graceland Mansion. For those of you that have been there, it now looks gaudy because it is not decorated in 2000 decor, I'll assure you that. But you walk in and there's that white sofa you've always seen. There's the chandeliers. And in those days when he was living there, what a wonderful place. Twice a year, people come from all over the world to pay homage and worship the king of rock and roll, Elvis, one of the most popular figures ever in the history of humanity. But there was that night at Graceland Mansion when it was over. All of his fame and all of his fortune left for someone else. He's making more money now than he did then. What are you seeking? Last time I checked, the mortality rate is 100% unless the Lord comes. Jesus asked, what are you seeking? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and His holiness. And all of these things will be added unto you. Would you stand with me? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we go to the Lord in prayer. My mentor is a man by the name of Dr. Roy Fish at Southwestern Seminary. And I remember in our first evangelism class, he said these words, "You can assume people into hell. You cannot assume them into heaven." This morning, if you do not know Christ, today I invite you to invite Him to be your Lord and Savior. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? You can know that you know before you leave this room by praying this prayer. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I believe that you died on a cross for me and shed your blood. Right now, I turn from my sins. I give you my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Save me. And friend, if you have prayed that prayer, and you can know that you know that if you meant business, God means business with you. Lord, today my prayer is that we would seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, understanding that all of these things that you have in store for us will come to pass. Lord, thank you for visiting with us today. And I thank you for that heart, that life that was touched in these moments. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.